else that I think is very should be very close to the heart of every child of God. And somehow this was on my heart this week in thinking about life, the world situation, where we stand in the timetable of human history. I'd like this morning to introduce this this message by singing a song together, number 953. I've entitled the message this morning, "The Understanding the Snares of the Last Days." Understanding the Snares of the Last Days. We'd like to sing this song together, 953, "Pray, Brethren, Pray." And I'd like just to, first of all, point out a few things about the word pictures in this song. This song should be sung with some intensity, because there's almost a breathlessness of anticipation that goes with this song. And the reason is, if you look at the words, "Pray, brethren, pray, the sands are falling." And what that is referring to is the sand going through the hourglass. And you think about the whole aspect of human history and time as we know it. We are in the last days. We are in the last part of that sand going through the hourglass. There's not a lot of sand left. We understand the trickle through. And so he says, "Pray, brethren, pray, the sands are falling. God's voice is calling. Yon turret," referring to the bell tower, "it strikes the dying chime." In other words, it's striking, as it were, picturing 12 o'clock midnight. "Yon turret strikes the dying chime. We kneel upon the verge of time." In other words, we're kneeling, as it were, at the end of time, upon, you could say, the sands of time, with eternity in front of us. The second verse, "Praise, brethren, praise. The skies are rending." In other words, the skies are opening in relation to the coming of Christ. "The fight is ending." In other words, we're almost done. The terrible fight against sin and wickedness and the curse in this world, we're almost done. It says, "The fight is ending. Behold, the glory draweth near. The King himself will soon appear." It's just again on the verge of the coming of our Lord. Verse 3, "Watch, brethren, watch. The years are dying." In other words, the years are disappearing behind us. "Watch, brethren, watch. Old time is flying. Watch as men watch the parting breath." Have you ever stood beside a dying person, knowing that the end was near? As the breathing slows down more and more, longer intervals between, not knowing when that breath is going to be the last one. That's what he's picturing here. He says, "Watch." You know, as you stand there and watch someone dying like that, we're to watch, he says, as men watch the parting breath. In other words, life is just about over. "Watch as men watch for life or death." That critical time, that interval, as it were, between life and death. The last verse, "Look, brethren, look. The day is breaking." Now you see the more triumphant part of this. "The day is breaking. Hark, brethren, hark. The dead are waking." In other words, the resurrection is beginning to happen. The graves are starting to open. As he pictures, you know, this the whole aspect of the coming of Christ. He says, "With girded loins, all ready stand." Possibly picturing Israel there, You know, at that first Passover time when they were to have their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and their staff in their hand, because there was going to be that midnight cry, and that angel would pass through the land of Egypt to smite the firstborn, they were to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. He says, with girded loins, already stand. Behold, the bridegroom is at hand. Eternity is drawing nigh. Eternity is drawing nigh. Let's sing this song together. Pray, brethren, pray, the sands are falling. Pray, brethren, pray, God's voice is calling. Yon trumpet strikes the dying chime. We kneel upon the verge of time. Eternity is drawing nigh. Eternity is drawing nigh. Praise, brethren, praise. The scars are rending. Praise, brethren, praise. The fight is ending. Behold, the glory draweth near. The King himself will soon appear. Eternity is drawing nigh. Eternity is drawing nigh. Watch, brethren, watch. The years are dying. Watch, brethren, watch. All time is flying. Watch as men watch the parting breath. Watch as men watch for life or death. Eternity is drawing nigh. Eternity is drawing nigh. Look, brethren, look, the day is breaking. Hark, brethren, hark, the dead are waking. Waker, it blows already stead. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verse 35. Eternity is drawing nigh, and I just don't know this morning how close we are, but I think we're getting pretty close. Luke 21, verse 35 is where we're going to take our text from. We're going to read this passage, but I'd like to refer first to verse 35, where it says, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." As a snare shall it come. A snare is something that is used to entrap, to entangle, to catch. It is unsuspected. It is a surprise. And then it's too late. As a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Let's back up to verse 25. Talks about the fall of Jerusalem, verse 24 and verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye say and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Let's go to Matthew 24. These are not new scriptures to us, but they should deeply move us when we think about where we stand in time today. Matthew 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is nigh, that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'd like to read the first 9 verses. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we come before you this morning in relation to these scriptures. We want to endeavor to understand more of your will and desire for us, that we are to be ready, we are to be watchful. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate these truths to our hearts again this morning, so that we would be a people prepared, a people ready for the coming of your dear Son from heaven. And so, Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit power in your word again this morning. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. We want to, this morning, to understand something about the snares of the last days. There's a tendency for all of us to go through life. We like life to be normal. And I know we can say now and here in 2020, this year has not been normal. And there's been a lot of changes. There's been a lot of things that are not the way they used to be or the way we would normally have liked them to be. But in thinking of this, you know, in relation to what is normal or what is right, is it possible that God is wanting to awake us or jar us out of our what is comfortably normal in thinking about the snares of these last days? Now, I'd like to think, first of all, of some of the signs. Then I would like to look at the snares. And then I would like to look at finding salvation in all of this. You think about the signs in relation to these last days. Jesus in Matthew, that scripture I read in Matthew 24 there, he talked about, you know, wars and famines and pestilences, which would be like diseases, and earthquakes. And so you think about what was promised in relation to the last days. Do we see these things? Do we understand them? Are we watching? You know, I had to think, and it's a lot of talk about this present pandemic. A lot of opinions, a lot of ideas, and I don't profess to understand it. But one thing I do believe that is very clear to all of us, and that is that that the world has never seen anything like it. There's been a lot worse ones as far as deaths. There's been pandemics in the known world where millions have died. We know that. You can read that in history. So it's not in relation to deaths, the death toll that it has taken. But one thing that is unusual about this that has never happened before in the history of the world, where you have a pandemic or a disease or whatever you want to call it, that has virtually brought the world to a stop. I can't think of anything since the flood that actually was earth-changing as far as around the globe within days of something very, very significant taking place. And I'm not going to talk about the origins of it or the reasons or any of that. Just forget all of that. But there's one thing I think we ought to remember, and that is the way this has happened, the scope of it, has never changed the world as much as this has. Whether it's even fake news that has done it, but it's still the fact is that it brought virtually every country to a standstill. Is that part of the pestilences? Is this a pestilence of the last days? I don't know, but it could be. And I think we ought to just sometimes step back and take and think about this. You know, and I know people have said, and I know at work, you know, we talk about it, and they say, well, they're just so tired of this whole phrase. So you talk about the new normal. We would like everything to go back to normal, right? That's what we all wish. Back to the old normal. And probably a lot of things will, to a point. But the fact is, this was earth-changing. This was world-changing. And that reality will always be with us now, from this generation forward. Whether it was needed to, whether the world needed to stop in its tracks, I don't know. We could debate that till we're blue in the face. Still don't know. But the fact is, it did. It did. Pestilence. And Jesus promised that there's going to be more of it. So it's going to be one of the characteristics of the last days. Well, we also have in these scriptures the thought or the idea that there's going to be distress of nations. And you think about, you know, the whole the world picture and the national scenes and the struggle. And, of course, there's wars and rumors of wars and all those things. But there is a distress of nations. And you know, modern technology, I think, has really increased that. Because at one time, maybe, you know, there was, you know, until the telegraph was invented, how long did it take for word of some event to reach the shores of Europe from North America? Well, they had to travel by ship and take the message over there that maybe something was happening over here. The telegraph changed a lot of that, you know, especially in continents. Then you had the you know, the underwater cable connecting Europe and North America, just as an illustration, where they were bridging continents, and so messages could move faster. But just think about today, the technology, and how fast something goes around the world. So fast. You know, it was said many, many years ago, you know, that that a falsehood or a lie has gone around the world before truth got its shoes on. But that was said before all the modern technology we have now. Now what? How would you describe it? So you think about, you know, the communication aspect and the distress that this causes the distress of nations because of the instant relay of information. You know, the book of Daniel, Prophet Daniel talked about in the last days, he said knowledge is going to be increased. Men are going to run to and fro. And there's going to be an increase of knowledge. Certainly applies to our day. Well, the scripture also tells us here that it's going to be signs in the heavens. Signs in the heavens. Again, I'm not trying to say that some of these things are direct fulfillments of what Jesus was saying, but I find it interesting. How many of you saw the comet that was in the northwest sky over the last several weeks? How many of you seen the comet? When I read a little bit about this, some of these scriptures came to my mind. So this comet was discovered in March of this year. It was never seen before, never known of it before. It was discovered by a team using the WISE space telescope. So they ended up naming this comet NEOWISE because of the program that was the researchers that were researching it. So it was discovered on March the 27th of this year, and it was classified as a comet on March the 31st. That's when it was named NEOWISE. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It got its name on April 1st then. And it made its closest approach to the sun on July the 3rd. And what is interesting about that, this comet was never seen before. It's on an orbit. It's on an orbit that would have basically started back around the time of creation, because if the astronomers follow the orbit of it in relation to our galaxy, the Milky Way, it's going to only make its circuit about every 6,600 years. Interesting, isn't it? So if you didn't see it, it's too bad, but if you didn't see it, you're not going to see it again for 6,600 years approximately. It was a surprise because they didn't know where it came from. There it was. I saw it over the lake a few nights. Had a nice bright tail behind it. I think it's just about faded out now. But where did it come from and why is it there? If it was started that orbit approximately from what we would understand about 6,000 years ago, we're the only generation to have seen it, and we'll ever see it probably. I don't know what all that means, but I think we ought to pay attention. Now, here's another one for you that I find very interesting. This is also just very recent, and most of it yet this within the last year for sure. The astronomers have discovered, and part of it is the discovery happened over at Soyuz with that radio telescope up on the mountains. I'm not sure what it's called. There's a name for that place. Anybody know what that? I've driven past it already. It's up on top of the mountain there. They were the ones that caught some of these radio frequencies. But astronomers are saying that there's these radio bursts and radio signals from outer space. They're really baffled by this because they never discovered, never knew this could even happen. even though they've been watching and, you know, searching for alien life for many years. But there's also an odd behavior with these radio signals. Don't take my word for this. Look it up. I only have a few bare details here. But they're very fast radio bursts. They're called FRBs. It's a powerful blast of radio waves that just last a few milliseconds. And some of these bursts have been repeating themselves in bursts almost like, you know, the telegraph code, Morse code almost. And of course, they're trying to figure out from a secular standpoint what this is all about. It makes us smile a little bit. But I read one article and said that the only thing they can think about, there must be, there's one or two things. There's something happening with some stars or planets out there. This is like billions of light years away that is producing this noise. Otherwise, but they really think it probably comes from aliens. And I know one astronomer said, it almost makes you think there's somebody out there. They're coming on, going off, repeating. Sometimes very accurate repeats. They carry a huge amount of energy. The fact that they can even go through that distance of space and we can pick it up. But they still don't know what causes it. They just don't know what this is coming from. Brothers and sisters, this morning we know that there's somebody out there. Why this is happening, what is involved, I do not know. I don't profess to know. All I know is that Jesus said there's going to be signs in the heavens. Signs in the heavens. Another one of the signs is a return to the days of Sodom. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later, but what we see, the erosion of morals in relation to countries that at one time at least held to a certain level of Christian Judeo-Christian beliefs are dropping that. And there's exalting in immorality. Jesus said there's going to be a return to the days of Sodom. Well, there's also apostasy. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Apostasy, people turning away from the faith. And when Jesus talked about some of these things in another passage, you know, the disciples said to him at one place there, he said, you know, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And have you ever thought about that in your mind in relation to those who choose to go away from truth? You know, and we are tempted to ask the same question. Is there going to be a few saved? That's what Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. So, apostasy, a falling away from the truth, people turning against the truth. I'd like to think now of some of the snares. Back to Luke 21, in this first passage we read, Jesus talks about here in verse 34, he says, to take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Overcharged hearts, I believe, are one of the snares of the last days. The word, one word used here is surfeiting, which has the idea of living to excess, to excess of anything that is not godly, whether it is pleasure and seeking pleasure, you know, and entertainment. And of course, drunkenness is included here. And so anything that is in excess. We talked about a few comments in the beginning of this message in relation to the scripture saying, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, the seeking of pleasure is astounding. And the amount of money that is spent on seeking pleasure It's not the only illustration we can think about, but I know I've thought about this scripture. And people could say, well, what are you doing on that particular road at that time too? But, you know, going from Radium up toward Highway 1, do you ever travel that piece of road there through the park on a long weekend? And people just like, it's a long weekend, they're having off, they're headed for their cabin or the lake or whatever it is, you know, and there's just vehicle after vehicle after vehicle. They can't hold the speed limit. They're passing people on solid lines. They're headed for Invermere. A lot of them. And you just think, like, how crazy is this? In the mad pursuit of pleasure. But then it comes down to us in our lives. And what is our focus? What is our desires? What is our attention given to? Jesus here warned. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time our hearts be overcharged, you know, with all these things that can take the place of a spiritual life in Christ. Verse 36, we also can notice here, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may escape, be accounted to escape all these things. You know, one of the snares, I believe, is being so busy, which it talks about in the end of verse 34. You know, the cares of this life, the things that we seemingly need to do. Yet all of that can drag us down and cause our attention to shift from the most important thing, when really we are standing at the verge, on the verge of eternity. Let me ask it this way. You know, if we knew, if you knew, if I knew that Christ would return, the heavens would open, and we would hear the trumpet sound tomorrow at 12 o'clock. If we knew that, or if you knew it a month from now, give you 30 days, what would we change about our lives? Or say a year from now, just exactly 1 year, August 16th, 2021, how would you live that last year knowing that Christ is going to return? Isn't that a challenge for us? What would you change? What would you not do? Where would you not go? What would you not say? But Jesus says, we need to be ready right now. Because the only person who knows when this is going to happen is the Father. The angels don't even know it. Or the Son. Christ doesn't even know it. Why would we change what we're doing if we're right now? Right with God now. If we're doing the right things now. We shouldn't need to make a lot of changes, should we? Sometimes it's just good for us to think in those terms, to understand and take a hard look at ourselves and my life. Is Jesus satisfied? Would Jesus be satisfied with who I am today, my pursuits, my wishes, my endeavors, my speech, my pleasure seeking, my entertainment? For such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Many will be taken unawares. This is part of that snare of the last days. Caught by surprise. I'm glad that in 1 Thessalonians there, the verses we read, he tells us there that if we're the children of light, we're not going to be taken by surprise. And that's one of the burdens I had in preaching this message again. And I looked back through my notes for the last years, and I was ashamed of myself at how few times I preached on the second coming of Christ. And I feel I've left the congregation down. Because this ought to be something that is part of the intensity of our Christian life. Because it's going to happen. Hebrews says, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. It is going to happen. If we believe it's going to happen, we need to live in light of it happening. Because many are going to be taken unawares. That's why Jesus used the word snare. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. But Paul talks in Thessalonians that if we are children of light, we're not going to be taken by surprise. But that means we're going to have to be awake. That means we're going to have to be watching. We have to, you know, think about all these things. We talked about a few things that happened right now in 2020. We ought to be thinking about that in terms of, is this part of the fulfillment? Is God trying to tell us something? That some unusual things are happening. And therefore, maybe it's a sign. One day we will know for sure. But he wants to get our attention. Take it unawares. So we are to watch and be sober. I find great comfort in the fact that if we are true seekers of the truth, seekers of light, that God's not going to entrap us in this snare. God's going to deliver us. We will know. I like thinking back to the coming of Christ the first time in relation to his coming the second time. You know, there were those who thought they were waiting for the Messiah at his birth, and they missed it. In fact, 33 years later, they crucified him, even though they should have known. They were religious scholars. They could have known the truth. They knew the scriptures, but they missed it. But those faithful individuals who were there, and I love the story of Simeon there in the temple. You know, he was also looking for the Messiah, the same as all the Pharisees and the scribes were. But there, when he took up the child Jesus, because it had been revealed to him that he's not going to die before he sees the Lord's Christ. And he took up, when they walked into the temple there, Mary and Joseph, and he saw them, it's just like, there he is. You can just picture him going over there and taking up that baby in his arms. He said, now, Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace. I've seen him. So there were those who recognized him because they were sincere. They were sincere seekers of the truth. They were sincere seekers of the light. And they weren't taken by surprise. They said, no, this is the one. And I just think, you know, in relation to the scriptures there in 1 Thessalonians, that it's going to be the same for the people of God in the last days. If we are honest with ourselves, honest with God in seeking truth and seeking light, not seeking an agenda for ourselves, not seeking freedom for ourselves, but honestly seeking truth, we are not going to be taken by surprise. But that means, brothers and sisters, that we're going to have to be more watchful than maybe we have been. At least I know that for myself. We can go through the humdrum of life day after day. You go to work and you come home and you do the dishes and you do the laundry and you do this and you do that. And it's just like the humdrum of normal life. But how often do we stop and think about that this could all stop at a moment's notice? When the trumpet sounds, are we going to know what's happening? We ought to pray that we're aware of it. And I just think that if the true people of God will find that awareness, when that trumpet sounds, we're going to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus talked about another of the snares in relation to the days of Noah. Seemingly very normal. They ate and they drank and they got married and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the door was shut. Jesus said, then the flood came and took them all away. Normal living. But there are signs. We need to watch for those signs. But the signs are going to come in the midst of normal life. The world in general will not know, because they don't recognize it for what it is. We talked about the return to the days of Sodom. I'd just like to turn back to that scripture in the Old Testament where this is referred to, the sins of Sodom, which is a direct application to us today in the world in which we live. Ezekiel 16 and verse 49. He's using the analogy of Sodom in relation to his people. And he says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now notice what he says. What was the sin of Sodom? We always think of the immorality, which was there. But notice what he says here. The sin of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. And in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Like we're talking about in our Sunday school lesson. But notice, pride, fullness of bread. They didn't have any needs in relation to that. And abundance of idleness. Are we in the days of Sodom? Return to the days of Sodom. I'd like to have a government's talking about a four-day work week. Give more time for people. I think people will have happier workers if we give them more idle time, more time for personal pleasure. Give them a long weekend every weekend. That will be more productive. That's being discussed in Canada right now. Abundance of idleness. What is the abundance of iniquity? We talked about that. Because iniquity is all around and it seems like they get away with it. Like the psalmist there in Psalm 73, he said, my feet almost slipped. And I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It seems like there's no bands in their death. They just do whatever they feel like doing. And there's no consequences. And here I, as a child of God, and working hard to please God and to serve Him and to make all these sacrifices. And it seems like they have an easier life than what I do. And so there is that aspect. The abundance of iniquity. Everybody's doing it. In quotes. And even nominal Christianity, they're doing it. And they can say, praise the Lord, and keep on doing whatever the world does. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, Jesus said. So cooling off of love for God and lukewarmness is one of the snares of the last days. There's the appeal of the broad way with many traveling it. Matthew 7:14 talks about this. And the warning to us to beware of that broad way, that easy way. Excuse me. All of us would like an easier way. Our flesh wants an easier way. Jesus said, beware. Beware of that broad way. Seek the narrow way. Jesus also said there's going to be false prophets. Preaching a watered-down, feel-good kind of Christianity. One of the snares of the last days, we're not to follow them. Lastly, how to be saved. First of all, of course, we need to submit and surrender our stubborn will to Christ and find His forgiveness. And in penitence, seek His will for our lives, give up ourselves. Holding to the unchanging word of Christ. We notice that here in verse 33, Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We have something to hold on to. We have the scriptures. We have the word of Christ. He says, this isn't going to change. A lot of changes in this world, a lot of situations where it used to be this way, but now, we're more enlightened or we understand things better and it's going to be this way now. Not so with the Word of God. We can hold to it. It is absolute. We are to take heed to ourselves. We looked at that, but the aspect of thinking very carefully about our own lives in light of eternity, it's going to require serious Christian living, sacrificial living, disciplined living, if we're going to be watchful and stay away from the snares of the world around us. We need to live every day, as I said before, live every day as if we knew that Christ was coming today. We get up in the morning, I think we ought to cultivate this in thinking about whether Christ is going to return today. Will that not affect how we live, the decisions we make? Yes, we need to go on. We need to make a living and provide for our families and all of that. But to do that is unto Christ, knowing that one of these days the trumpet will sound and it's going to be all over. Christ will break through the clouds of heaven. Romans 13, I'll just like to read this scripture to you. Romans 13, you can just listen if you want instead of turn to it. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, do we understand, do we know the time in which we live? That's very, very important. As seekers of truth, followers of light, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Excuse me. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Not doing anything that's going to weaken that resolve and that victory in Christ. May God help us this morning as we begin to think about the time in which we live. Things are happening. Let's pay attention. And we will know soon, I believe, in relation to some of these signs and the coming of our Lord, that we each are ready for that day. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning to again plead your wisdom in relation to our lives and what we need to do to be ready for the coming of our Lord. We know, Father, that this world is moving away from truth in a very rapid pace, and there is a darkness descending upon the land, a spiritual darkness that we have not seen in our generation. We also know, Father, that there are supernatural things happening. There are things that we look at and we read about and we understand only a small part. But Father, help us to recognize the signs that you give in showing and pointing forward to the last days in which we are living. Father, we just pray your blessing upon each of our parents as in our homes, that we might be faithful in the instruction and guidance of our children. We pray for the little children, that they would continue to grow up to serve and know you through even the Bible stories that they know and read, but to develop that faith in you. We also pray for our young people today. We know that the devil is working hard to deceive them, to drag them into the world, into pleasure, into entertainment, into all the things that rob us of time that can be spent in kingdom work. And so, Father, we just pray you would guide us, give us wisdom, give us conviction, so that we can continue to serve in your kingdom and be ready, be a part of the church, that elect who the angels will come and gather from the four corners of the earth. We Father, want to be part of that elect. May each of us in our lives do all that we can by your grace, by your power, by our honesty with truth, so that each of us are a part of that elect that will be gathered into that eternal kingdom to be forever with you. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Number 990.
Oh, there's a city of light, mid the stars we are told, where they know not a sorrow or care. The gates are of blue, and the streets are of gold, and the building exceedingly fair. Let us pray for each other, not faint but away, in this sad world of sorrow and care. That home is so bright, and this almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there. Brother dear,
share the announcements. I believe we missed the birthday last Sunday. Liam's birthday was last Sunday. So if I guess he's the other service. Birthdays or announcements for this week. Jessica Tishner has not been able to be here with us, but we've listened in sometimes, so Jessica has a birthday today. Lincoln has a birthday on Tuesday. Dave and Martin have an anniversary on Tuesday. And Joseph has a birthday on Wednesday, I believe. Is that right, Joseph? How old are you going to be?
13.
So that's... That's... becoming a teenager. That's interesting. Remember that milestone? Made me feel a little taller, I think, bigger, I think, but sure it helped much. God bless you in that. Anyone I missed, or sometimes we miss some, but I think I got them right this time. All right, let's continue faithful, serving God. You see all the turmoil in the world. I was talking to a brother yesterday for a while, and you know, he made the comment. He said, I just don't know how to feel about what my grandchildren are going to face. Then we talked about it, you know, that we're not given the spirit of fear. And sometimes we have to crucify that. But also think about the fact that God has promised that he's not going to let this whole thing go too long. There is the aspect of God understanding and knowing the situation with his people. And he's not going to let this drag on longer than is needed for the salvation of souls. Let's be diligent. I thought of Pilgrim there, Pilgrim's Progress. I thought maybe last night I was reading some of that again, and I just raised this subject. And there's not too many of our youth here, but I thought, you know, that'd be a good subject for the youth to go through, that Pilgrim's Progress. So many applications for where we stand right today. But I thought of especially his message, his cry, you know, that judgment was coming and fleeing to the city of light, the city of refuge. And I know that for myself, I don't think that I give that testimony enough to the world in conversation at times and witnessing, you know, that finally this whole thing is going to stop. This whole thing is coming to an end. And may God help us as we endeavor to portray that, where, like Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That isn't just about scaring people, but it's about giving them the truth. The fact is that Christ is coming again. And this is all going to stop as we know it. May God bless us as we continue faithful. Let's stand for closing. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.